Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There could be far, no more beautiful words, I think, at least few, anyway, than the words that come to us today from our lectionary. Fear not, the Lord says. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. This is the Lord's word to us. You are mine. What we have today in chapter 43 of Isaiah is markedly, exceptionally different than what we have in chapter 42 just before it. And if you have time today, with all the nasty weather, go home and read chapter 42 and see just the complete contrast between the two different chapters. The people in 42, the Lord calls blind and deaf. And these are the people of the covenant, by the way. He calls them blind and deaf. He says they are plundered. Someone has come and plundered them. They are a wasted people, God says. They're no use to God. And what that means is that they have again and again refused to be obedient to the Lord. They don't seek him. They don't care about his commandments. They only seek themselves. That's what God means when he calls them all these things. He's levying a charge against them. It's the charge of the law. They have been disobedient. To these people, even what seems to be the worst of the worst, the Lord calls them. He beckons them. He beseeches them to come to him. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I have always known you. You have always been mine. I have come for you. I have even called you by your name. One of the most basic definitions of the Holy Church is that they are a flock of holy sheep that hear the voice of the shepherd whose name is Jesus. That's what distinguishes them from the rest of the world. You can look around us right now. We are as different as any people can be from one another. You have likes and interests that I just don't have, and vice versa. But the one thing that binds us together is the shepherd Jesus and his blood covering each one of us. That's what distinguishes us from everyone else and joins us together as brothers and sisters. We hear the voice, the word of Jesus Christ. And so now the ones that God is talking to in chapter 43 are those same sinners in chapter 42 that are now redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They are the holy Christian church, even, that has existed all through the ages. The people of God who have existed by faith in God. Even in the Old Testament, even in the Old, every person who's ever lived by faith is a Christian. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Esther, Noah, Moses, Miriam, and Sarah. All these will endure into eternity with us. And we know they're a Christian because no one comes to the Father except by Jesus, except by the Word. Then, now, and forever. That's the way it's always going to be. And these two are married to the Son for eternity. They are our brothers and sisters. What God speaks in the Old Testament today, you should hear him speaking directly to you, because he is. You are mine, he says to you. You are mine. You have been baptized by God, named by God. You have been possessed by God. Don't you know that you belong to no one else but him? You are his prized possession, his pearl of great price. And what that means is that by the mercy of God, we are no longer destined to eternal death and darkness. Christ has shattered the chains that have kept us bound for so long. We are now appointed to life. There is nothing in all of creation, whether it be seen or unseen, that could ever take you from the arms of the good and mighty death and hell conquering Savior of the world. Nothing can rip you away from him. Not when he says to us, "You belong to me." Nothing can take us away from Jesus. The only way that that happens is if we consciously decide against it, which we can do either by our word or by our deed. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. When God speaks of water and rivers, flame and fire, he calls to our attention, or rather, he recalls to our attention, all of the trials and all of the temptations that we're going to face as his children. Most people think that, at least people who aren't Christians, think that when you just become a Christian, that everything's supposed to be wonderful and perfect in your life. Everything's supposed to go your way, like God is some kind of eternal, almighty magic rabbit's foot that just brings you good luck. Hogwash. Pick up the cross and follow me, Jesus says. Pick up the cross. So what God is doing here is he's reminding us that life is not easy, that life can be hell sometimes while we live in this broken, fallen, and perishing world. So the fire represents all of the perils that we're going to face. The waters represent the sinful and disordered chaos that we, the human beings, unleashed on all of creation at the fall of man. But certainly, these things mean more than this. And what I mean by that is that in a spiritual reading of the text, and maybe you don't know what I mean by a spiritual reading, what I mean by that is that that sort of reading that only Christians can have of the sacred text of the Bible, a spiritual reading, and the reason that only Christians can read the scripture in this sort of light is for one reason and one reason alone, is because we have the Holy Spirit, right? We have the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God. So in the spiritual reading, we see in this same verse, even in the Old Testament, the very grace of baptism, the promises that he gives to us in baptism. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, Jesus says. In Jesus' own baptism, he stood right in our place. He has gone before us in all things, even baptism. The man who knew no sin stood in the place of the brood of vipers. And there in the Jordan sanctified the waters of baptism, passing through them himself. He sanctified those waters for us. So for every single person that he calls to himself, guess what? He is present for right there in those holy waters. I will be with you, he says. And that's not just a one-time promise that he makes, and that's that. This promise of God is perennial. He will be with us through all of the trials of this life. Everywhere that he calls us to, all of the work, all of the ministry that he calls us to, guess what? He is right there beside us, never leaving us alone. He was there when the baptismal floodgates were unleashed upon us. He was there in all of the chaotic foment. He grabbed hold of us and he pulled us up from the abyss, just as he did to St. Peter. And he declared to us, "You are mine. I have called you by name. But he also promises that what this means is that from now on, we are never without him. No matter where you go through this life, you have no cause to fear it. Because you belong to me, the Lord says. In all things, you will be more than conquerors through my son Jesus. You will even tread atop the back of Leviathan with me, he says. So there's the water. There's the water. But Christian baptism consists of two things. What is it? Water
and what? Luther.
The word of the Holy Spirit. Right. Water and the word. Water and the Spirit. Without water and the Spirit and the Word, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The New Testament is emphatic on this point. It's two things. So back to verse 2. Look at it. You shall not be burned, God declares, and the flame shall not consume you. The flame shall not consume you. To the church of Jesus, the ones he calls precious in his eyes and honored with the prophet Isaiah, the ones to whom in verse 4 he even says, I love you. To these, the fire of God comes as the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord, the giver of life. And the Spirit comes to protect and to purify and to sanctify you, gentle even as a dove, coming to you, beseeching you, calling you gently at times and sternly at others. Both the law and the gospel, the Spirit speaks to you. Because you need both. You need both. To all others who are unrepentant in their sin, who don't know Christ and the forgiveness that he's able to bring, the Holy Spirit comes as a fiery, all-consuming wrath. I mean, think of Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, right at the end. But more terrible than that. Because God will not tolerate sin in his... Have you seen Indiana Jones? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, good. Just making sure. God won't tolerate sin in his presence, right? He just simply won't. In fact, God is in the business of destroying sin, of taking your sin on his shoulders and dying with it. That's what God is in the business of. And if you're still joined to your sin at the end and not to the Son, then you too will be consumed. So that's the difference. That's the difference. To the saints, the Holy Spirit comes as gentle as a dove. To the unrepentant sinner, he comes as fiery wrath, burning, consuming. But instead of fleeing this fire, the saints run to it. We run to this fire like a soul-warming fire on a cold winter's night. We run to it and long to just be completely surrounded by it, enveloped by it, held by it, that we might be all that closer to our Redeemer who loves us. Praise be to God that we have been baptized. I'll say it again. Praise be to God that he has baptized us. That we have passed through the fire, even of the Holy Spirit. Praise be to God because the chains that kept us bound have been burned off by the Spirit's holy fire. Who remembers Nebuchadnezzar? Well, I know you guys aren't that old, but you've read about him, right? King of Babylon. He was during the Babylonian captivity, or the Babylonian exile of Israel. In his court were three Jewish officials of the state who, when King Nebuchadnezzar demanded that every citizen bow down and worship pagan gods, you know what they did? They said, not us, king. We will never bow down to your gods. Our God is the Lord. Our God is the Lord. They refused because of their faith, and they were our brothers in that. So the king, of course, becomes enraged by their disobedience. He won't tolerate their insurrection. And you remember what he does? Throws them into the furnace, right? The fiery furnace, extremely, abundantly hot, burning red. Throws them into the furnace. And he said this, he said, "Who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands?" Nebuchadnezzar says. "Who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands?" But when he threw these three men in, the king saw a fourth man standing there with them, beside them, in the fiery furnace. And they were not consumed by the flame, as they ought to have been, at least by the laws of physics. Neither their hair nor their clothes nor anything else was burned. They were shielded. They were protected. And you know what the only thing that was burned about them was? I know you know this. It was the cords that held them bound. That was the only thing that was burned up in the fiery furnace. The cords that held them captive and made them slaves. They came out from that fire, the scripture says, with their hands unbound, because they came out as free men. Jesus Christ, the one who endured the full fiery wrath of the Father, was there with them in the fire, shielding them from the consuming effects of the flames. And so he does the same when the fire of the Spirit surrounds you in holy baptism. He protects you. He shields you. And he makes you to be free. Luther said this, and he was right on with regard to baptism. He said that holy baptism is a more precious gift than all of heaven and earth combined. Right? Holy baptism, that right there, is a more precious gift than all of creation, all of heaven even. Why? Well, because it joins sinners like me to the eternal Word who is Jesus. It unites us. It gives us full communion with God. And God says of his Son, heaven and earth, they'll pass away. But my word endures forever. It shall never pass away. That's who we are joined to. The Word of God, whose name is Jesus. One more thing, and I'll land this plane. Joshua and the Israelites, before they entered into the promised land, had to cross a river. Which one was it? Oh, the Jordan River. Right. Thank you, Leonard. They had to cross the Jordan River. And so standing in those same exact waters, Jesus shows us that we too must pass through water before we can enter into his kingdom. Through these holy waters, sanctified by Jesus himself, Jesus calls to us, "Fear not. Fear not. For I have redeemed you." By these waters in the ark the Holy Church, he will deliver you past the fiery sword of Eden, because your Savior calls you there by name. And there waiting for us, we will find eternal repose and heavenly benediction under the tree of life, who is Jesus himself. And then finally, the reality that God speaks to us through the prophet today will come to eternal fruition. That which he says when he says, "You are mine." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Spirit.